challenge Double Agents, episode 2, now in the books, as we are back here to recap that episode for you guys. It is me, Matt, back again, of course, with my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how is it going today?
I'm good. I licked my little Tupperware container of mustard, so I'm all ready to go, prepared for today. I'm excited. I don't want to keep overhyping the season, because you know what I always say about low expectations and plenty of other people, but I love the season so far, and so I'm very excited to be back here.
Was that a throwback to our previous conversation in a past season about Tupperware? What were we talking about?
Tupperware, yes.
What was that
about? The many things. It was, you know, they have to bring so many things from location to location to, like, Tupperware.
I don't even remember. I just know that's not exactly the word I was going for. That's what came out. We left it in, and that's where we were at. But I'll give you the credit for the callback either way. We had another episode. Two episodes in, seems like the hype is still going. It's funny that it seems so cold there, especially with this challenge they had to do. And then now here in at least where we are, it's the coldest it's been in a while. Lots of snow outside. So I guess we're all just getting in the challenge mood.
Yeah, definitely. New York got hit and most of the East Coast with a big snowstorm. So really felt Michi's pain looking out the window. I didn't go outside too much today. I had a pretty busy day inside, but otherwise it looked painful.
Did you have to do any shoveling or snow moving, removal or anything like that? But it sounds like no.
No, very fortunate enough to not have to do much outside of clearing off my car, but not getting a ton of use out of that recently anyway, so that will be done when I have a free moment.
Yeah, for the first time in my life, had the luxury of putting my car in a garage.
Ooh.
I don't know what I did to deserve this, but this is where I ended up. My car is in a garage. I have not left since I put it in there yesterday, and it's not coming out until I need to leave, which is probably not until at least Saturday, and who knows. Right.
Giving me West vibes. People who have money or a garage don't need to talk about having a garage, but okay.
I mean, you're not wrong, but I just have been very excited about the fact that the next time I need to go to my car and drive it out somewhere, that I will not have to brush off the snow. I'm just taking advantage of, or not taking advantage, I'm just appreciating this new roof that my car has found in its new life, because it is a new car as well. But I did have to go outside. I put in my work today, shoveling. I actually learned how to use the snowblower for the first time. My dad had did it for like 2 hours this morning, and there's a whole long story about this. But then there was still more in the street because the plow kept coming by, and I was like, are you going back out there?
That's
and he
the
was
worst.
Like, yeah, no, I probably should. And I was like, you do not look like you want to go back out there. I was like, I'll do it, but you have to show me how. And then that was a process. So, wow, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, no, definitely not ideal. Preferable to jumping in the freezing cold water that they had to this week, but neither are my preferred situation, I will say that.
Have you ever taken a cold shower, like a really cold shower on purpose?
Yeah, I've had the power be out or whatever. I'll run out of propane upstate or, you know, my share of fair things, and they're not enjoyable. I've also gone swimming in freezing cold water. I don't recommend it.
Yeah, I don't like it much either, which is probably not a hot take, but there's like, I had a friend that I used to work with that used to like hype up the cold showers, like they're so good for you, like they're such a, like a shock to your body or whatever the reasoning was that I'm gonna butcher if I try to explain, and I was like, all right, I'll try it. And then I tried it once and I was like, oh my god, no. Absolutely. Yeah. Not so no,
I'm watching multiple hours of reality television a week. I don't think that the cold showers is going to make the biggest difference in my morning, so I'll live.
Yeah. Well, there's the weather update and the water update that we have before we get into this episode. So what were you saying as we got on here? You were you don't want to hype it up too much, but you are still enjoying it through a second episode.
Enjoying it is a understatement. Yeah, wow. I am absolutely loving this season. I was a little bit nervous in the middle portion, but, you know, good challenge, great outcomes. So absolutely thrilled there. Everything has been, you know, A level, B plus at the worst moments of the episode. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, I'm obviously the fact that they're able to switch partners, I think, is going to be a huge added you know, for sure a huge twist that's added to the game here, but like a huge ending that I guess you would not totally expect unless you're reading the edit closely, which after, you know, seeing what happened there, going back through the second time, I think I was able to pick up on a lot of hints along the way of, you know, what might have been, you know, about to happen. But yeah, for, you know, any other season, you would be lucky to even end with an elimination in the first place. But if you do end with an elimination, it's like, okay, somebody goes home. Now there's like this whole extra added layer to things after, you know, if they're going to keep this all within the episode of like, all right, who, you know, are they going to pick a new partner or not? And here we are on the second week, you know, the first week that ends in the full, you know, details of what's going on at the crater and a partner swap. So, I mean, I love the pace that we're at.
Yeah, definitely. I know that a lot of people, even on like the big team season where it made so much sense for people to be switching over just two seasons ago, like no one was really making that move. So I think a lot of people didn't expect it to be happening. And I'm excited that the seal has been broken. I think it's going to make a lot of people much more likely to do it in the future. And good, because that's what I want. We had three new teams going into next week, endless new possibilities moving forward. So I am very happy with where we're at.
Yeah, and this big alliance that keeps getting talked about obviously seems to be like the Cam and Leroy side with whoever is attached to that. And, you know, there's a million people that we could, you know, try to piece together of who is actually in it. And people like Nani was talking in this episode about, I don't exactly know what's happening in this house. I don't know the exact details. So it seems like they're all kind of working through, you know, who sits where, who lies where. And, you know, these votes, they're kind of using them to determine, are you actually on my side? Are you voting with us? And some people are getting exposed here. Kyle for not being on the right side that they said that they were voting on. But I mean, it is really really nice to see that a season that is starting with such a big alliance that could be so dominant, there are so many pieces that are in play that could upset that it's so unlikely, it seems, that that alliance is just going to like plow through the game. So I really like that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, especially with Kyle's decision at the end, it's so interesting with do you try to become part of this alliance by switching partners, by integrating like elsewhere, or are you trying to stay back, not make big moves? Like, it's so interesting how many possibilities there are in terms of gameplay this season, and I'm hoping that they continue and this is not just like a strong season that like to start and fizzles out. I have high hopes.
For sure. What did you think of Natalie at the top of the episode here? She obviously had the option to steal a partner, the question that we left episode one with, and came into this one, is she going to take a different partner? I feel like we were both pretty feeling pretty good about the idea that she would not switch partners, but we got confirmation, of course, when this episode started. So what did you think of all that?
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of me that kind of was just excited to see the possibility of people doing it, and maybe like a little wishful thinking in that people would, not necessarily that Natalie would, because I'm so excited about Natalie and Wes as partners. So I am excited to see them stick together there. But, you know, I think that it is going to, ultimately, I think it's good, and we'll talk more why later, but I think this is a good move for Natalie right now to be staying with Wes, actually.
Yeah, it's like interesting. Obviously, the first confessional after Natalie makes that decision is Lolo saying, you know, Natalie's not seeing the bigger picture here. And we talked about this on you know, our big show that we have on last week's podcast about how, you know, we were trying to decide if it was a good move or not. And I was like undecided. I feel like the optimal move here for Natalie in this spot, you know, knowing what we know, knowing all of, you know, especially seeing, you know, what they're saying in confessional behind the scenes, is that it would have been a better move to get off of Wes. CT says in this episode, you know, Wes is a sinking ship. I'm not going to sit here and attach myself to that. There's no point. So I think, you know, with all that said, it probably was the better move. I wonder how prepared Natalie was coming into this show. I mean, she has already been on Challenge Mania, and I don't know that I got a full answer for that question. If they asked that, maybe I just wasn't paying attention of like, how ready for all of this were you? Like, how much did you know about everybody coming in? Did you watch a lot? Did you talk to anybody? Did people reach out? Because people knew she was going to be there. So I don't know. Maybe if she had been a little bit more prepared and saw that like Wes is a sinking ship, she might have jumped, but she didn't.
It seems like, from what I've heard, she's focused a lot on the physical preparation, shocking, but did not really go back to review people's like social games or what their reputations are, because I guess on a Survivor season, usually it's like, all right, you're only going to have so much game footage or none going in. So it seemed like she more so would look up and see like, oh, here is Hall Brawl, I need to prepare for tackling. Oh, here is Pole Wrestle, I need to practice my grip strength and do stuff like that, rather than actually looking up the reputation of any of these players. And I'll just talk about it now, actually. The thing is, I think that being with a big target on your team isn't actually a bad thing, because we see here everyone wanted to target CT and Wes, and CT's partner goes home, and it seems like, at least to me, CT is immune from elimination this week. And so if you want to actively be targeting Wes, you can't target Natalie, because either he's going to be immune or she'll go home and he'll get a new partner or whatever the case may be. Like, you can't actively be targeting her while hoping Wes goes in at the same time.
Fair.
Yeah, so no, I think that's a fair option.
I hadn't thought about that. I'm processing all of this as you're saying it now.
It's a lot. I thought about it. And so, like, that's why, and I'm excited for, just to jump to the end, like, Big T's spot is like phenomenal right now, because if anything, like, yeah, CT's strong, but she doesn't have the reputation. And so they're still going to want to target him. Why would they target her? So unless someone like gets in there and really needs to go against someone with a lower reputation, like, I feel like that's a great spot to be in with a partnership of someone who's actively being targeted, and then work your own relationships if you can.
Yeah, Natalie also already, obviously, she got her gold skull. So I'm curious, like, how fast people are going to be to, you know, get her in there. You know, if there's some way to get her in there against, you know, a rookie or something like that, see if you can get anybody in there that could potentially take her out. Not that I'm saying the rookies would be the best candidates for that, but, you know, if a rookie goes home, not the end of the world to most of these people. And if they happen to take her out, then, you know, all the better. But that's, you know, just like one person that I feel like, their life in the game that a lot of these people will be willing to play with, especially when you get a couple of more rounds in. So who knows? For now, you know, I think it's fine. I think especially if the attention can start to shift off of Wes in, you know, we already see it happening here in this episode, that attention was being shifted over towards Kyle from Fessy and whoever else. So if there is some kind of bridge that can get formed, if Kyle, if Wes does get hired as the janitor of this alliance, then maybe there's room for something to happen here. But for now, she is with Wes. And CT is going to be a rogue agent. His partner will be determined after the next elimination. TJ is going to tell him, and they're all going to head back to headquarters, TJ calls it. I didn't realize the place was called headquarters. But
yeah, I did not pick up on that. So it shows you, yeah, I'm taking notes on the specific things. Those are not the details that I'm picking up on.
it just struck, like, caught my attention. I was, you know, we talked so much about the bunker, and then all of a sudden I heard him say headquarters. I was like, oh, wow. Especially, and like, it still says Handler under TJ's name every time he comes out.
That one I have noticed. I've noticed Handler. That one's an interesting choice.
Oh, all right. Go ahead with the theme. I'm just like, you know, why didn't they do that on like Survivor when they had like specific themes of like, I don't know, like Brains, Bronze, Beauty. What was Jeff? Like, I don't know. That was
Brains, that go back to the lab. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Anything. But all right, it's fine. Let's I don't know. Where should we even start here? I guess maybe just at the beginning here, as CT is going to head back to the house and goes like groveling back to Cam. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, very good. I like that he's super aware. And I'm assuming, I mean, Cam is saying to his face, if you picked me, you wouldn't have been down there. So she is making it known, like, this was my move, which is an interesting decision, because especially later in the episode, we see that, like, Leroy and, like, CT, Wes, like, they all talk about how openly, like, yeah, like, we know each other well, et cetera, et cetera. So it's interesting to see Leroy and Cam really openly be claiming this hit on CT. And so, but of course, you get Josh coming in and being like, oh, is this against me? Like, no, Josh, no one remembers you're here, let alone was making a move against you.
Yeah, they must have felt really good, Cam and Leroy, you know, going into this season and being here so early in the game about the numbers that they have, which I don't think that they have any, you know, any reason not to be at this point. Like, it seems like they are correct that they have tons of numbers. People are talking about this big alliance. So, you know, she's feeling pretty confident, and both of them are feeling pretty confident about, yeah, this is the group that we're running with. And if you would pick me as a partner, you would have been fine. So, you know, she's telling him the truth. But yeah, it was just funny to see the way that Josh walks in and he's like, oh, hey, guys, like, how's everyone doing? And CT's like, yeah, how are you doing when you get into the elimination next week and I get your partner? And he's like, haha. And CT's like, I'm not kidding.
Yep. Especially, I mean, it's interesting because like Cam and Leroy on almost any other season would have reason to feel amazing because they have come in here with all of the numbers. No one can really challenge them at this point. But you just got surprised at an elimination that like it's not partnered eliminations and someone can steal your partner, et cetera, et cetera. So for Cam to still be feeling this good, maybe we should check it. But I guess you kind of have to keep it going once you have already claimed the move. So definitely interesting. I also did like Kyle telling CT like, hey, you leave Nani alone. And CT, yeah. Like, okay, yeah, no problem. Not going for that one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so many of these story, puzzle pieces were, like, kind of coming together. Like, after the episode ended, so many things kind of clicked. And I was like, wow, that makes sense. Why we got that about Nani and this about, who else? Cam and Josh here at the very beginning of the episode that I had, like, completely forgotten about by the end. But, of course, it makes sense because Cam got taken. So it was some sneaky editing. And they're like, even going back into the first episode, I feel like there was maybe it'll be in my notes later that it'll like strike my memory. But just certain things that have been coming up that I don't know, they're doing a good job for the most part. So far.
Definitely do agree that this has been very well edited so far. There's numerous conversations that I have, you know, picked out as like, oh, here was a seed. Here was a seed here. So it's definitely been very meticulously planned.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like thinking back to like last week, like Cam talking about how great it is to have Anissa here. Like, I feel like that relationship could be something that's super vital later in the game. You know, the two of them playing together for the first time for like a full season here. And, you know, obviously things are going well for now. But then Cam and Josh's game kind of got flipped on its head this week because of a decision made by Anissa and Fessy. So, you know, a lot of drama could be on the way here next week. And I still just can't believe that it's all I was tweeting about this, about, you know, the fact that Wes was groveling at the feet of BB20. Who flipped Fessy, like the fact that he is such a pivotal player in this early part of the game. I cannot believe we always talked about how great Fessy was going to be here in this environment because of his athleticism, but the fact that he has become like the core of like whatever this group is of, you know, like people that are making strategic decisions, and Fessy talking about, you know, we have the numbers. I'm like, do you know anything about having the numbers?
I feel like there's actually been some good moves I've seen out of Fessy. You know, it comes up later, but when we get our messy Fessy scene, and Fessy has, like, good social game. Fessy is single now, so he is willing to flirt and, like, be actually entertaining, question mark? Mm-hmm. So for him to say, you know, where he's talking to Nani, he's like, yeah, pick me, and he's actually showing game awareness and, you know, making good moves. So I think Fessy's ceiling is getting even higher than I previously thought.
It absolutely is. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to get at. Just that, like, we never have seen anything like this from him before. Last season, he was so quiet for the majority of the time. We got to know him a little bit on, like, a personal level, and then obviously saw him, you know, being physically dominant a couple different times going into the final as well. But here we're getting like, okay, Fessy is becoming a more well-rounded player, you know, kind of making moves that are surprising people, you know, surprising Corey, surprising Cam and Josh, who were like supposedly like working with him. So he is really, you know, trying to branch out a little bit and expand his game. And oh my God, my cat is really testing my nerves. We were talking before, she's like begging for treats. She already got them, and she is usually sleeping right now, but she's awake and she is not leaving me alone. So very distracting you are.
Hey, there's lots of new fans of the challenge. Everyone's trying to get involved now, so I understand it.
Like, we gave you treats. Like, what do you, my brother was up here before too. Like, gave her, like, I don't know. She's needy. Yes.
I will say though, if you asked me, I never saw this coming, even not how much even I like them, like, as people or as competitors or whatever, but like just as TV personalities, which of these four Big Brother players am I excited to see on next season? Like, it's Fessy, and then big drop off so far. Mm-hmm. So he has really raised the bar.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even heard a word from Amber B yet, right? Or Amber M for the most part.
No, not one word from the Ambers.
So, I mean, how do you have a show with two Ambers and two episodes in, barely hear anything from?
Yeah, you got a little bit of Amber's voting confessional, but otherwise, really not much meat on the bone so far there.
Yeah. But speaking of like this alliance, though, that pretty much can like give us a smooth transition into talking about the challenge, because at the challenge we have here, Ice Spy, the whole water, freezing cold water, they get the ice block and bring it back. You get the kill pill and whatever. The obviously like the big highlight of this, if you would call it that, or the main talking point here, is the fact that this giant group ended up in like the middle of the challenge, closer to the end, of nobody had any idea where to put the pill, the kill pill. They did not know what to do. They were just sitting there discussing, and Kyle was pretty much speaking for the audience, and probably for TJ, who TJ wasn't able to speak much in this, but you can imagine that's what he's thinking. Like, what are you idiots doing? Just like, do something, like finish this already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially like there's actually, I think, a lot to take out of this. I was so excited to see this type of elimination, and people call it the coconut chop challenge, basically, mm-hmm. where you are revealing your alliances, and I don't feel like it's worth it at all to win like this second week challenge in order to just be displaying like, here's exactly where you are on the pecking order. And it seems like it's exactly how it went for the most part.
And that's what I'm saying. Like this group that I feel like if they are as comfortable as they appear to be, mm-hmm. that's why they didn't mind, you know, kind of all of this happening. Who's outside? Oh my God, she's making so much noise. Would you go away? She's like, she's got a box out here. We have, you know, all the Christmas presents that are coming in. So we leave the boxes out, and she's choosing now to absolutely lose her mind. If you have a cat or have known a cat, well, when they like lose their mind, she's having that moment now while I'm recording. So much appreciated. Really, really. Thank you.
But what I will say is through listening to Outside Challenge content, have also found out that Fessy and Anissa, as the winners of last week's challenge, were able to pick the order in which everyone was lined up for this game. So definitely think, even looking at that, like, I agree, Anissa says, like, wow, Fessy is really thinking and thought about how let's put the people that are working with us closer to us, and then as they get further away, it's who we're working with less, because then they're less likely to run over towards us. And that's great strategic thinking, but it's also very obvious strategic thinking. So as soon as you see, like, okay, the person closest to them is Corey and Tori, that is their closest ally, like, you're displaying it on the field immediately.
Yeah. Do we get a lot of that these days, of seeing people pick the order? Because I feel like we don't. And now that I'm, you know, going mm-hmm. through continuing my rewatch of all these old seasons, the order pick definitely brought a lot of drama at so many different points. Like, people that would, you know, win a challenge, they would go pick an order that wouldn't benefit, you know, the people that their partner wanted to put in, or just, you know, their allies yep. would be annoyed about not being in the exact spot. Obviously, nobody wants to be first. And that created a lot of drama. But I feel like I don't have many memories of it being too relevant lately.
Yeah, it's been gone for a while. Definitely something that used to be like a prominent thing on the show, and I feel like probably still does cause like a little bit of drama, but unless it is unavoidable, I feel like they're not going to show any of it. If anything, they're going to be like, the order was picked and now this person's mad, and then move on from there. They're not going to show the full order being picked almost at all anymore.
Which is annoying. Like, I always said that, you know, I think many people always said this about, like, Survivor. When you have them pick the teams, like, put that on, like, obviously it's getting recorded, it's getting filmed. Mm-hmm. Put that online. I want to watch that. My CBS All Access account's still going. Like, whatever I have to, you know, I mean, I'm sure most people would not watch it exactly on there. It'd end up on, like, Twitter or something. But, let us watch.
Yeah, give me that. Give me the voting confessionals. Like, I want to see all of that, especially when you're just doing a montage of like, okay, and then 38 people voted. Like, I understand that. Just show me who they voted for.
Yeah. Whatever, I guess, not happening here. But yeah, so this challenge is, you know, there were a lot of highlights in here. I have a good amount of notes here. Mm-hmm. One of the non-highlights being Michi getting, you know, kind of like medevaced out of the challenge. Felt really bad for him. His body like totally locked up. And it was nice to see that, you know, some of the people around him, you know, Fessy, I think Wes, were helping mm-hmm. him get to shore. So, you know, nice to see that, you know, even in the middle of a competition, people aren't just going to like strand him out there. But
yeah, especially Fessy still in. Like, Wes was out at this point, so, like, good on him still, but Fessy being like, all right, I'm going to actually take time out of the competition, step over to help him, and then comes back and still wins very handily.
Yeah. Any thoughts on the fact that CT can't play? I mean, not too surprising or anything, but...
I think it's kind of, you know, a consequence of what they have to do at this point. I have some theories for later after we get to the elimination, but okay. I am, you know, curious to see how they handle it moving forward.
You know what they should have done? since they had like a million people that probably would have said yes to this season, but they only had room for so many, just keep everybody in quarantine and have a mercenary come in and be the partner of the rogue agent for every challenge. And if they win the challenge, that person gets to enter the game.
Okay. I mean, it's fair. That's how probably Mark Jansen ends up on this season. But otherwise, you know, it's
the dream team, CT and Mark Jansen.
Exactly. That's what everyone's hoping for.
Yeah. Derrick Henry would have been in jumping in. Imagine him and Tori ended up as partners again, and Tori wins the challenge. Derrick enters
the
game.
Off the show.
What a world. What a world. Yeah, so CT's not able to play. Did you catch on the podcast with Tori and Anissa? They were talking about CT's role in this challenge.
I did. I like that CT was... The thing is, I like that CT was keeping track of who was giving, you know, the kill pills, I guess, to who. And I also, I think it's funny and would have been funny for TV. I don't know if it was the best move to be like, I am going to keep track of this and use it against you in the future.
Yeah. He was for anybody who didn't listen to that, basically he was, you know, watching the whole thing, of course, and taking a ton of mental notes about who was putting their pills in where, because, you know, we got to see it all on TV. Of course, you know, they're following by each time somebody puts a pill into somebody's tower. But CT was, you know, kind of had his eye across the field, and he would be like standing behind a certain person's podium. And as they would come up, I don't know if he was giving anybody information, but Tori was like, he came up and he was like, oh, we know who like put this one in yours. Like, but I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I am, I am going to remember it.
Yeah, that's a lot. Like, to be saying in the moment, like, I have this information, and I'm not going to give it to you. At least Fessy and Anissa are keeping the information that they're keeping quiet, actually quiet, and not rubbing it in people's faces. But yeah, that's CT. I guess he really doesn't have a ton to lose, especially this week where he's immune.
Yeah, he's immune this week. And, you know, this is what, like 2 days maybe after the whole, you know, whole house coming after him. So he was probably still a little angry, fired up. He's got no partner. You know, one of his good friends or, you know, close enough friends, Ashley, is now gone. But so that was the strategy that he went into this with. But it doesn't seem like the house obviously moved much because, as you mentioned already, Wes is going to be the first one out of this challenge. Natalie, of course, by his side, that as soon as everybody got those pills, and they did call them kill pills. I know both of us, I feel like, are hesitant calling it that. Okay. Because it sounds really funny, but I'm pretty sure I heard that.
All right. I literally only heard kills and I was like, that's a noun now?
Okay. I'm pretty sure I heard kill pill. If I'm making it up, it's a thing now and we can copyright it, but
it's better
sure
than just kills. So yeah. I like kill pills better.
I'm pretty sure I heard kill pill at one point.
Okay.
But yeah, Natalie and Wes first out, no surprise there. But the scene that followed that is what really, you know, caught our attention, where Leroy comes over and throws an extra one in there for, you know, for because, and Wes was like, you idiot. And then the whole thing after that, like, Leroy, I guess, thought maybe he could use it again, and Wes was like, no, you're done, that's, get out of here.
Yeah, not great. Like, complete overkill. Like, shows exactly how bad that you want to get Wes out is, especially when he's saying later in the episode, like, yeah, I'm your guy, I won't vote for you, but like, I want you out so badly, I'm not even gonna pay attention and just throw this in your, you know, station.
Insane.
So not great.
Like, Leroy on his last season is really, he's working hard to make this go well for him, obviously, with this alliance, everything seems to be going well, but it was like, oh, what a start of this moment here, as Wes, like, because then Wes does, like, the whole mocking thing where he takes the pill, you know, Leroy comes over and it looks like he's about to hand it to him, and Wes chucks it into the ocean. I was like, oh, man, that's not cool.
I will say, I did see on Twitter, you were saying, like, Leroy getting prepared for his last season, did post a video, took swim lessons, he's super proud, excited, so I am definitely happy that that is something that is not going to hold Leroy back on his final season this year.
Yeah, anybody that's, you know, been working on their swimming, this is, like, a big thing that, like, Kara had to deal with for a while. Like, you got it. The swimming is not going anywhere. It's a huge part of the show. Same thing, like, there's so many staples of this show. Like, you're always going to have to do endurance. You're always going to have to swim. You're always going to have to eat gross things. And if you're not, you know, great at any of those things and you want to be back in a couple seasons, you probably need to work on them. So,
exactly.
Speaking of swimming, Nelson has been practicing his swimming, but...
He has. Scuba Nelly T.
Then why did he seem, was I like not paying attention or something? He seemed mad when he got out. He's like, I hate swimming, but I practice swimming, but now I'm out of the challenge.
Yeah. that was confusing for me, and it was subtitled, so of course I'm like, is this going to play a part in the future? But we also got the scene where specifically he was talking about how he likes it now, so I don't know. But him getting out second was very surprising to me, because I thought he would have been more ingrained in this alliance.
Yeah, I guess I didn't even really think much about that. I guess I kind of saw Amber there, and I was like, that's, you know, nobody's really being hurt by Amber being an early person to go out. And if they had organized it, if Corey and any of them had, you know, said, oh, let's just get them out of here, like, Nelson doesn't mind, Nelson's not going to be mad, I was like, does that have anything to do with it? But then no, Nelson was very upset when he was eliminated, so...
Not the person that I would think wouldn't be mad about losing a daily. Like, we saw how he screamed at Anissa when she dropped something on the side of a truck. Like, he's going to be mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, rewatch update for anybody that cares in our listener world. That's what I'm currently up to in my challenge rewatch. Rivals 3 and Nelson and Amanda just made their debut. They came out as the alternates after Leroy actually was the one. Wait, no, that's not true. Who went home? Know. Wait, who went home?
Sure.
Was it? Yeah, it was. Rivals 3. Leroy and Avery got sent home because Leroy had like an awful like pain shooting up his leg or his back or something. And
it was his back, I think.
Yeah, he like did some damage there. So he did go home. He went home back-to-back seasons, and I was like, no, he didn't go home. That was last season. But no, it was both seasons in a row that he had that fate, which, you know, not the first time that that's how Sarah had that issue where she was. It wasn't back-to-back seasons. It was like... Mm-hmm. 2 out of 3 seasons she got sent home early for
something stupid. Yeah, he and Sarah have like famously had bad luck with partners, so hopefully this goes a little better with Leroy. Seems to finally have a better partner, maybe not entertaining, but at least good at the competitions. Mm-hmm. So definitely interesting. I also think it's possible Nelson was just the first person taken out by people that are more outside of the alliance, but I guess that depends on where he was placed on this field.
It is just so wild to me to see these, because when I go back to old seasons, of course, like I know that like I'm going to see like younger Cara Maria and younger Bananas and younger anybody else that's here right now, younger Anissa. But like seeing now that I'm up to the era of like the first time that Ashley and Corey and Nelson are out here, seeing baby Corey like 24 years old and him and Anissa are out there hooking up for a season and getting into arguments that's like wild. Some kind of couple. Yeah, it's crazy. And then Nelson's here now. Amanda's here now. Like the Are You the One invasion is taking over, and I don't know, I'm just having fun with that. And I feel like a couple people reached out saying that I should do more longer coverage of like the old seasons, but I said that the least I can do is, you know, touch on my thoughts here in the week to week. But one day we're gonna look back during the next rewatch on Big T's first season as she's on like her 14th.
Oh, I can't wait for Big T to be on her 14th season. So music to my ears.
I know, that'll be exciting. Big T is annoyed though in this challenge, as Joseph is not very communicative with her as they're trying. She's like trying to not, you know, target certain people. She wants to work with certain people. And, you know, she said to Joseph in the last episode when he was falling asleep on the couch, like, you got to get out on the golf field. And that's where you know, that's where the politics are going to happen. And Joseph is out here just chopping away at the ice, not talking to anybody. She's like, this is not doing anything for me.
Yeah, he has just had his head down. We'll see a couple times throughout this episode. They do not work well together. Joseph seems to kind of have his mindset on who he wants to work with, and it's only a few teams, and he kind of wants to brute force his way through. And I don't think Joseph is brute forcing his way through many seasons of the challenge, especially this one. So not surprising that Big T is getting frustrated here.
Not at all. I mean, I guess we could talk more about Joseph later on as things are going to really start to be like highlighted for him. And I do think we skipped over, or maybe it's my fault that we skipped over the scene of him earlier on in the episode and his warm ups, his exercise. When was that?
Yeah, that was early. But, it's the type of thing where those are, I believe, actual ab exercises, but they're not impressive. Why are you doing them in front of everyone? Like, go hide. Like, have shame, like the rest of us.
I wasn't sure how to take it. I was like, I don't feel in any position to be judging an ab workout that I have never done. Maybe this is real. But it was a cute moment with him and Leroy. Leroy's like picking on him a little bit. I was like, oh, Joseph, young little rookie, trying to get a workout in. And Big T was just like, I cannot deal with this guy. I would not swipe right. I would not want anything to do with him. And of course, we are partners.
Mm-hmm. But
We'll talk about him more in a bit because lots there. But anything else that you have from this challenge before we get to our winners? Anybody else stand out?
Yeah, so it did frustrate me. Like, I wrote down the full elimination order, and I just felt like, especially at the point where, and Kyle's, like, literally screaming at them, and they're just standing around talking about, like, who should we take out next? Like, it's so blatantly obvious at that point. Like, they didn't even have to talk about taking you out, and now they're worried about, like, okay, who in our alliance? Like, you are projecting exactly who you are working with to the majority of the house who is already out. So it was just, like, insanely bad gameplay by the people still in the, you know, one game versus the entire season. You are asking for people to turn against you, and seeing the results of this challenge, I was worried that was not going to happen in the near future based on how this played out.
I mean, Kyle was yelling all episode, right? Like, yeah. This challenge, and then later on, yelling at Fessy and whatnot. I know I already touched on this, but like when Nani talks about being confused about like where the house is and all that kind of stuff, I kind of imagine that there must have been some kind of block there where people wanted to see if they could work with Kyle. Like, that could be an easy number for them if he's willing to be on their side, but maybe they weren't giving that team all of the information for these first couple of rounds because they weren't sure. And now that they're, you know, now that they're split up, and now that Kyle's going to be with Cam, I mean, he's going to have to know the information. He literally made that move exactly, you know, for that purpose. And Nani being with Josh, you know, the big brother side of things, she's still going to know more. So, I mean, they end this episode in a much better position than they started with. But yeah, he was definitely not making any friends through this one.
So. I mean, it was just in the like preseason episode, you had Corey and Nelson talking about like as a joke in front of Kyle, like he's a snake, don't know, can't take your eyes off him. But they really think that like Kyle's not on the inside of their alliance. And as much as like they have a good relationship from being on the last couple seasons, he's on the outside. And I'm glad that if it was only this challenge, then like thank God it came this early, because at least people are seeing where they actually stand, and it's not going to just be like a pagonging all the way through. It's going to actually be a fight.
Well, this challenge was not much of a fight. It was just it was just something. As Fessy and Anissa, we pretty much found out that they were going to win, maybe a third of the way through the challenge. As somebody, I don't remember who had the confessional, was talking about, they don't even have a single pill in their thing yet, so nobody's coming after them at all. And then the rest of the challenge was just more confessionals about there's still nobody going after Fessy and Anissa. They must be, you know, in charge of all of this. And TJ is gonna even get in the action and call them out towards the end. He's like, wow, everyone was just so scared of you guys, I might as well just write you the check now.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Jeff Probst and San Juan del Sur coconut chop challenge. Like, why are we bothering with this? Like, do you want to just declare who's winning? So it seemed like, you know, similar energy. Natalie was on the opposite side of it this time. But ultimately, it was the challenge got done what it was set there to get done. People did wake up thanks to this challenge.
And I don't know who's happier about this win, Fessy or Anissa or Brian Scally.
It's helping the fantasy points, so not complaining. I like that we are getting the drama of Fessy and Anissa keeping the secret of the voting for now, so I'm here for it. I'm not upset, especially Anissa. Is it true that last week was her first daily win ever?
I can't imagine that's the case.
It sounded like they said it on a podcast, and on maybe it was on their podcast, said like, oh, like, congrats on your first daily win. I don't know if it was this season or
ever. There's no
ever.
Way that's true. She has been no way.
Maybe, but it
29
could be
daily
in terms
wins
of
on her wiki page. She has
okay,
29 daily wins.
Okay, I was like, that is a wild stat if that is true.
No,
but,
no,
you know,
there's no
poorly
way
worded.
Know. Yeah, I mean, and 29 includes, of course, like any team wins or anything like that back in the day when bigger teams existed. But still, no way that was her first ever. Mentioned that specifically because the Fessy and Anissa win here. Draft update for you guys. We have Matt with 2 points on his team. We have Haley with 1 point. We have Colin with -2 points. And we have Scally with 15 points.
Hey, I'm not complaining.
I am.
We changed up the points.
Which still feels weird, especially seeing it all play out. I mean, I don't know if we talked about this or not, but like the fact that like currently, like the way it stands is that Big T got penalized for Joseph going in. But maybe that isn't a bad thing because, you know, there could be a twist at any point where both of them are up for elimination. So I guess you never know.
Yeah, I definitely think that it's going to get a little more complicated. In looking through also Anissa's history, it looks like really only does have team wins outside of maybe one partnered win. But so good on Anissa getting the wins. As far as fantasy points go, I will keep taking them. So, but I do think that the eliminations could get a little more complicated moving forward also in terms of how they're scheduled and structured.
Yeah, we have we added in points for stealing a partner. And if you steal, like if you make a bold enough game move that, you know, takes your position in the game and, you know, you think you're improving it by adding, by changing up your partner, that's a +2, whatever. So I got +2 for Kyle. And then the -1 point was added if you have your partner taken from you. And that was assigned to Josh. So I get 2 points. I lose one. I just can't win. But that's your draft.
I'm all
update.
For Josh losing points. So yeah, here we go.
I mean, it's fair. That was gonna happen, but now, you know, Kyle, and now I have Kyle on my team who's gonna get points from Cam, and I have Nani on my team who's gonna get points from Josh, who's also on my team, and I don't know about that. Okay. What else? What's next? What else should we go to from here?
Who after the challenge? I mean, we do get back to the house, and I do like the scene where you get CT and Wes trying to politic with TYB, and obviously CT is doing a much better job at this.
You could say that. Joseph had, you know, right before all of these talks had gone down, Joseph, I guess, was starting on his campaign here of, you know, he wants everybody to know that he is willing to go down into elimination if he can have Wes as his opponent. And he thinks that, you know, he doesn't need to be the house vote because he's like, if he wasn't the house vote, you know, Wes gets voted in, then he'll tell Fessy that you know, put me down there and I'll go against Wes. I'll do my best to take him out. That's what he wants to do to make his statement. So then TYB, all of them are off talking. I don't know if we're officially inducting Fessy into that group without, you know, hearing it from them. Fine,
I think
they
said it at this point, pretty much.
Yeah, it seems close enough. They're talking about, you know, Fessy's like, well, maybe I'll put Wes in against somebody that he's close with, like Devin. And CT comes up. He's trying to see if there's like any room for him to wiggle into this, you know, strategy session. And then Wes comes up looking for a job.
Oh, Wes. So he says he's never had a job before. Feel like really showed that he's never been on an interview then in that case, because him just saying right from, I'll be the janitor, I promise I'll do whatever you want, but if you need me to run the alliance, I'm here. Quite the ambitious move, and immediately turns everyone off, as expected.
It's just so funny because he talks so much about, you know, how many businesses he owns and mm-hmm. all of these companies that he runs. And this goes back to like early days of Wes, like back when he was like 20 something years old, he would constantly be talking about all of the different cars he had. And like, he's always, you know, talked himself up on that end of things. And then he's like, I've never worked a day in my life. What? What do you
I
mean?
Don't know. He is. And the thing is, I think that Wes does do okay and like has connections. I don't think Wes is out here like breaking his back every day. So if the truth is somewhere in the middle, as is expected to be with Wes on the challenges or outside. So not surprising to see there. But I like that, you know, like the TYP is sitting pretty and they're like willing to call him back immediately. Like, oh, thank God, Wes, like you're going to come in here and help us. Like, thank you. We needed you. Like, they're going to immediately shut him down on this.
Yeah, I mean, they're all smart enough to know that the reason you shut Wes out of this kind of stuff is because if you let him in, he eventually mm-hmm. will infiltrate and find a way to, you know, to detach people from this alliance to become his numbers and become on his side. And he's already coming in saying, you know, he's not even just saying add me. He's like, if you add me and Devin, both of us have great minds for this game and we'll be working on your side. And it's like, do you really think that these guys need your, like, and you know, granted, we're talking about Fessy here, somebody who's not known for being one of the most strategic players. But as we're saying, he's growing, you know, into his own as a player here. And all of these guys together collectively, especially CT, if he's hanging around them now, they don't need much help to figure out how to take out like Leo Rush and Jay when the time, well, Jay might be with them, but whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like to take mm-hmm. out these rookies, they'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's not rocket science, especially if, you know, the likes of Fessy, Corey, and Nelson are figuring it out. So they don't need Wes. He's the type of person where even if you have him as the janitor, he's giving like slight advice, like he's not helping you. Like it's obviously going to be to dismantle you at some point. So Wes is the type of person that you need to keep at least at an arm's reach, if not further. So it makes complete sense that they're shutting him down. I do like CT's approach, though, of just like casually like being social and not actually pitching too much strategic.
And I, you know, like maybe Wes at this point needs to start throwing his partner under the bus or something like that, which I would hate to see. But, you know, maybe if there's, you know, this kind of like, of course, like all the attention is right now on Wes. Like people don't want Wes there. That's it. And I don't know that people are being like, Natalie is an issue or anything. Of course, the girls are probably intimidated by her, who wouldn't be. But I don't know, maybe if like there's anything he can do on that end of things, being like, you know, if Natalie ends up leaving, like I will take anybody that we want to bring into this core, and make it like part of this group or something like that. I don't know. I do think that like, I don't hate the pitch that he made. I don't think it was awful the way he, you know, approached them and just trying to be like, guys, like I am not trying to hurt you guys. Like look at me as he like holds the knife in his hand. Like, look, I'm just, it's a toy. It's just, it's not real. I just want to hang out.
Yeah. The problem is like, they know that Wes already has friends and they're never going to step above the likes of a Devin or a CT in Wes's eyes. So you can give him an inch, but like, that's all he's got for you. He's not giving you a mile. He'll take the mile. He's not giving it. So it's really like a point where they all know the reality of the situation and like, he can try, but it's not going to work.
Yeah. And just to, you know, kind of keep on this topic here, you know, a little bit later on, we're going to get that scene of Devin and Kyle talking, which, you know, comes after Devin is having a hard time understanding his partner, which, you know, I guess that's why she hasn't had any confessionals, or at least in this episode. So that was kind of funny. Hate to give Devin credit, but I will. But yeah, and then the two of them are talking about, you know, we need to figure out a way to not, you know, have Wes be the name that goes in. Like, and this is, you know, not the beginning probably of where Kyle had this train of thought, but you know, the two of them connecting here, Kyle and Devin, definitely, you know, kind of solidified that that was going to be something, at least for them and the people they were close with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was not the biggest fan of Devin towards the end of his run. I really liked him actually on Are You the One and everything, you know, at the beginning of his challenge career. And so I was not super thrilled to see him back, but I do think he and Kyle have played well off of each other, at least so far. So I enjoyed him this episode and, you know, the little we got of him last. And so that was where I was really worried, where people like the Devin, like the Kyle, Nicole, whoever else, like they are very clearly at the bottom of, as soon as like, you know, the winners go, they're the next targets. So I'm glad to see that they're recognizing it and taking steps towards actively, because these are good game players and they are, you know, making the moves before it's too late for them.
Can you just imagine though, like Kyle gets home from the challenge, talks on the phone, you know, gets Bananas called up, and Bananas is like, so who'd you work with this season? Like, next season when I'm back, like, who are we hanging out
with? No.
He's like, oh yeah, Devin and I really hit it off. Bananas would be like, lose my number.
Definitely not the best for him and Bananas, but you know, gotta do what you gotta do. Even Bananas started working with Wes, so I guess maybe it's on the table, who knows.
And that took how long? I mean, I'm not willing to be still watching the show in 10 years from now when Devin and Bananas are on whatever season, making up for what happened all year.
Don't speak too soon.
I'm not happening. We'll have to find new hosts of this podcast. Yeah. When the time comes there, or
I will
just
not allow Bananas and Devins to be on Big T's 14th season. It's not allowed.
Not allowed. Big T is going to be running the show. Who else is going to be there with her? So 14 seasons from now, Big T is still on the challenge. Anissa is still on the challenge. That's for sure. Casey, no. I'm just looking at the draft board. Wes probably still out there.
You think after Big T's on 14 seasons, Wes is still here?
Wes is still there. Anissa's still there. I mean, if they are still here at this point, like what's stopping them in the future?
That's 7 years from now.
CT is still here.
Oh, God.
it's 100%.
I don't know about this.
Who is Michelle Fitzgerald is on her 13th season.
Yeah, that's fair. 13. Seems like 13th she's coming in
season for Michelle. Natalie on her... I don't know. I'm not doing this math right, but Natalie would be on her whatever season by then, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll see. I think you're looking at some of these like very established players. Like maybe Cam is the face of the franchise, but I think anyone that is predating Cam, we need to start worrying about leaving pretty soon.
Unless their name is Ashley Mitchell.
I'm not encouraging it. I'm just saying I'm worried about it.
Yeah, we can... we'll see how it goes. I mean, 14 seasons, only like 7 years. Like, that's not that far.
No, I know. Ooh, scary.
14 seasons ago from season 36 would have been 22, right? And that was Battle of the Exes.
Which feels like forever, so.
Yeah, It does. because I was totally watching the show at that time and have a full ability to comment on how long ago it feels like. What else? So, yeah, so Fessy Messy is exactly how they phrased that. Yes, Messy Fessy comes up here, which I don't really have a whole lot to comment on, but I think you mentioned him earlier, and Teresa got a good dig in here about how this is the only time he actually has a personality. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have this part labeled just Fessy is hot, because other late part of the my notes is just labeled Nam is hot. Like, that has been the theme for both of them this episode, where, you know, everyone's talking about Fessy, and in more ways than one, like, people want to partner up with Fessy. He's like the hot item on the menu at this point for both Fessy single and, you know, Fessy will be potentially available for grabs as a partner later in the season. So I think we got, was it Gabby saying like, oh, like maybe that's a possibility moving forward in terms of romantic interest. Nani is looking more so for a partner in Fessy, so I think it's a good move for him to keep his options open on both fronts, I guess.
Yeah, and just the you know, to speak again, probably the final thing I have for now for Fessy, until we start to like pick him apart when we get to the elimination and his decision there to not go in. But yeah, I like the, you know, when Nani comes to him and says, how would you feel if I picked you later on? How would you feel if I killed you? No, that's from Big Brother 1 too. And Fessy's like, he says in confessional, but you know, that mindset of like, yeah, let them all think that they should pick me as their partner at some point. Like, that's why people are going to feel so comfortable with him, because if they all feel like at one point or another that they can have him for themselves, run that final and win alongside him, of course they would want that. Like, it makes a lot of sense, and I'm glad he was able to, you know, piece that together. You know, I do need to start giving him more credit. I do think
that he has like the starts, the, you know, it took a couple seasons, but the starts of a strategic brain is really starting the show, on top of what I already think is like a very good social game. He has like a lot of these guys really just, you know, they're all tied pretty closely to him. I don't think anyone dislikes Fessy, and especially I think he has good relationships with good working relationships with a lot of the women. A lot of them really like him also. No one's going to be mad at him, like I said, and especially now he's single, he's open to working with in terms of like partners in the future. Like, there's literally no reason why any of the women should want to get rid of him at this point, and a good amount of the men have good working relationships with him.
I feel like the best comparison that I can draw to Fessy, and honestly, this is purely just based on like size and, you know, kind of, it really, this might even be just, I guess, a terrible example the more I'm thinking about it, but I was thinking about Zach, like, you know, both of them just coming in, being this big physical specimen, dominating presence on that end of things. Like, you can't miss him when he walks into a room kind of thing. But Fessy's already like miles ahead of Zach because of exactly what you're talking about, the social game that Zach never had and never will have, because he's just an asshole. And Fessy is not that, at least from what we've seen. I mean, maybe that's on the cutting room floor of every season, but it doesn't appear to be that way. So if he can have that same level of like intimidation just from his size that Zach had, Zach obviously got a win on his first time around. So, you know, hard to, you know, expect that from Fessy, especially as it's gotten harder to get those wins. But, you know, that's a good spot, I think, for him. If like, you know, they cast that spot of like the big guy, if that's going to be Fessy, I think he could hold on to it for a bit.
Mm-hmm. And if you're telling me that Zach's casting spot is full, I am not complaining. So I think that he is on an everyday basis just more likable than Zach. I think that probably Zach is more likely to pick random fights, while they both have like decent social games in terms of people generally like them. I do feel like Zach is much more likely to have an enemy than Fessy. So I feel like he's in a great spot moving forward.
For sure. But yeah, the other side of the blank is hot segments here was, as you mentioned, Nam is hot, as has been told to us. I mean, I don't know. I'm not seeing it. No, I'm just kidding. Nam is a huge man, the physical specimen. He has got many abs. You can count all of them in one screenshot that is, I'm sure, all over the internet right now. And Lolo Jones is very into him and their partners. And this is, you know, Lolo was on Celebrity Big Brother talking about how, you know, she, it was a part of her story, how she's still a virgin. It had to do with religion. She, I believe, right, correct me if I'm wrong, that she was planning to wait until marriage, but the temptation is here. She's like, where's my Bible?
Yeah, that's like we said, Lolo's great casting all across the board. So I did not expect a showmance, but I am here for a showmance. This is probably one of the last one I also would have expected if you had me name any two people. And that makes it all the more enjoyable for me. So I am very much enjoying the Lolo and Nam flirting scenes. I like how it opens up with, you know, Wes and Jay and everyone talking about like how cool Nam is and how much they like him. And then ultimately we get to Lolo flirting with him, and they talk about how like funny and witty he is, which is just unbelievably difficult in like not your native language. So the fact that he is this funny in English, like probably 10 times funnier in German. So definitely enjoying Nam so far.
Yeah, I mean, Lolo gave him a kiss and he calls it, and he's like, that was an honor to be I'm like, oh, you are such a sweet person. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't agree. I don't know that I would have necessarily predicted this one, but Lolo Jones is already great TV, but add in this element of a potential showmance, potentially either having this relationship blossom or maybe even having her heart broken at one point. Either way, I think this will be fun to watch play out. And they're not, you know, they're kind of right in the middle. They talked about that during the challenge as well, that like nobody is, you know, they don't seem to be at the top, at the bottom. That's a good spot to just kind of ride through for now while everybody else fights with each other. So.
Yeah, and I love Anissa like busting their balls. Like, can you imagine the babies? Like, that's me. That's always me. Like, I will say that. I'm sorry, but I will. But I also am also already looking to the future. Like, Kyle foreshadowed it. I kind of thought that he was gonna make the move here, but the day that Nam and Lolo are broken up, especially if they stick together a lot longer. Definitely going to be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, I mean, two big candidates to have to be taken as a partner. Lolo, I mean, yeah, of course. And this is, you know, goes back to like when I picked her in the must lose draft with Brian and Allie, that I still, you know, I'm by no means do I feel good about Lolo's chances in this game. Of course, she is an Olympic athlete and all that stuff. But at a certain point, let's call it like a month from now or so, as options are whittling down, there's a couple of rookies that have left the house, and you know, the people that have the least amount of relationships might end up in there, and Lolo's gonna lose her mind, and that's where things start to go south for her. And that this isn't the kind of game where she can escape that as long as she did in Celebrity Big Brother.
We have seen Lolo compete on two shows where the filming schedule was much, much shorter than the challenge. So I feel like it's all but guaranteed that we are going to see many different sides of Lolo as we get further into the season.
And I can't wait.
Same.
I can't wait. Let's talk about Big T and Joseph.
Because yes.
He is making her life a living hell. He is going around with this plan that he wants to, you know, speak up against Wes at the deliberation. He wants people to vote him in, or not vote him in. He wants to end up in the elimination. And Big T is having a hard time communicating with him. And it's just, you know, we want to see nothing but good things for Big T. And Joseph is not a good thing for Big T. So thus, I do not want to see him.
Yeah, I mean, Big T says it like Joseph is obsessed with Leroy and Cam, and I get it. I also am obsessed with Leroy and Cam, and probably would be if I was in the house, but like, can't blame him. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to ignore Big T for Leroy and Cam. Like, I'm going to be obsessed with her too. So the fact that he is just actively working against his partner so like actively is so frustrating, especially knowing Big T said that this conversation really was centered around Big T wanting to, you know, protect Ashley and work with Ashley. So first of all, Big T gaining even more points there, but like, it's her one name that she really wants to work with, she has a good working relationship with, and Joseph got there, you know, a day and a half ago and says like, no, trust me, I have the relationships here. So I understand why she's insanely frustrated.
Yeah, I mean, he's like pretty much like trying to call her out on something that I was just kind of annoyed by all that. Like, I am gonna give Joseph some praise incoming for just the fact that this all happened in the first place. The whole fact that he, you know, made a name for himself here in this episode, because when you look at the challenge casting, like, peek into what's going on in their meetings a couple of months ago, and they said, oh, here's this guy from America's Got Talent, Joseph Allen, the first person we're gonna cast from America's Got Talent. People are gonna be like, you cast somebody from America's Got Talent, we're gonna put him on the show. Basically, just like most rookies do, or many rookies do, he's probably gonna end up going home early. If he happens to give us a good episode on the way out, that's what we're looking for here. So That's exactly what happened, right? He gave exactly what they would have hoped for from casting him on the show, that he gave an exciting episode on his way out. But when it becomes, you know, of course, now it kind of becomes a question of is that enough here for him to be asked back? While it was a wild play for him to, you know, be calling out Wes like this, put his name out there. And Tori and Anissa talked about this on their podcast as well. Once, you know, and the name was out there, once people knew that they were safe because Joseph wanted to be in the elimination, it was a done deal. Like, people were going to put him in and there was really no way around it. Wes was not going to get the votes there because they were like, there is a lock that we can get this one team in and no hurt feelings because he wants to be in. So I don't know. The move itself, obviously not the greatest in terms of like long term in this game by any means. But I do think that it could take him from being the one time that America's Got Talent was represented on the show to he could get a call back.
Yeah, it's a possibility. It definitely at least makes it more likely that I'm going to remember Joseph's name by the end of the season, even though
Big T can't even.
I was about to say, can't remember it through one confessional, let alone over the many weeks. So it makes it more likely that he'll be memorable. But at the same time, like, how many people have tried to call out Wes over the years? Like, I'm sure Josh is currently doing it, trying to, you know, make his rivalry still. So that hasn't really worked for him. Is this going to work for Joseph? Like, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm, like, you know, by any means kind of, like, positive about him returning. I mean, I'm definitely not, but, and I don't even know that I would say necessarily that I feel good about it, but just compared to, I mean, look at, like, last season when Asaf was the first guy out, right? And he made an impression. He, you know, had a little bit of a showman's with Nani, and it, you know, I feel like people were talking about him in that episode. Like, there was enough to talk about with Asaf, and then he got the call back for this season and whatever happened. And, you know, we knew that he had, you know, either flown out there or he was like at the end of the casting process with everybody else, ended up just not making it out here. Like, I feel like Joseph easily could fit in that spot. I feel like, you know, he I don't know. I just think he gave them enough. And I think when you are this person, like this exact spot on the show as a rookie, as somebody that, you know, he's not the most physical specimen out there of the rookies. He's not a WWE wrestler coming in. You got to do something to make a name for yourself. So I do appreciate that. And, you know, all of this that went down here, upsetting Big T, there's a storyline there. If there's any other kind of like partners thing or just storyline to pick up on again, because you're not going to get Wes in season 37 talking about like, oh, Joseph's here again, I have to deal with him. But you could have Big T being like, Joseph is back and now I have to deal with him again. So I don't know, there could be something there.
Yeah, no, it's fair. I still think if you look at like the last, let's say, three first male eliminations, I think I still have Asaf more likely to return than Joseph at this point, even though it's one season removed. Sean, I know people are not really going to remember from the season, but I think even he got a call this season. So I would not be super surprised to see him return over Joseph at this point, especially I don't know if they care based on the struggle that they're having, but they have not been able to find gay men to have on the show in a little while, so I'm not that optimistic about Joseph's returning chances at this point.
Look, at the very least, there is a bisexual man that is very willing and available, I'm sure, to get on the show, and I don't know why Zach Rance is not here yet, but...
Didn't they drop him last minute recently?
I've not heard anything like that.
That's what I heard.
I have not heard that at all, but
yeah, maybe. I believe they dropped him on War of the Worlds 1.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, he says a lot of stupid things online. You know, both
big,
like,
stupid.
Like, I'm pretty sure the things came out from the past, if I'm remembering correctly, like one of those kind of things. But also, no, okay, what was I thinking of? Oh, he said something. He was on like that Instagram Live with Kat, and they were talking about like spilling all the tea about like production or whatever. So, I mean, is it a bit of a risk to put him on the show, but I don't know. And
yeah,
that's a whole other story. Zach, Jose, we can talk about that another time.
Oh boy.
I guess Joseph versus Chase. Who do you have coming back in that matchup?
Okay, I have Joseph, but clear mile. There's no question for me.
I wonder what Chase Brody McNair
is
doing.
I don't wonder
today
what he's up to. Definitely do not wonder.
We will have to find out. And, you know, when we eventually get our first challenge person to interview here on the show, and we find somebody that is available and willing to come on this podcast and talk to us, Chase will be an option.
If it's Chase, I'm busy.
Fair enough. So yeah, Big T is getting annoyed. Joseph, this fight isn't going well. We get over to the deliberation. Now, Big T is going to have a chat with Gabby and Liv as well. These three have been connecting back-to-back episodes.
I'm going to jump in real quick because I have a couple little bit more to say about Big T and Joseph. In terms of... I think that also things that I did not catch as, clearly on the first go around, I really actually was very encouraged by this scene for Big T, because first of all, she says, like, I've actually been training really hard and I'm ready to go into an elimination, like, if it happens. So where, you know, Big T does not have the reputation, I think that we've been saying she's underrated. I'm excited to hear that she is actively training to be on the show. And then also we do get the scene of her with, like, Gabby and Amber B and Liv, and so I like this spot for her of she seems to be corralling the rookie women, and I am excited to see where, you know, last season she's like, I'm gonna like mastermind and plot, and everyone's like, oh, like so cute Big T, and this season it actually seems like she's building up a little group for herself, so I'm very encouraged to see that.
100%. Like, I have in my notes right here, Big T is here to all caps play, lowercase, and to all caps win, and I effing love it, is my note.
Exactly. So very encouraging moving forward for Big T.
Yeah, she wants to make the final. She wants to be there. She wants to play hard. She wants to win. I absolutely love it. Like, we love her as an entertaining character, and that's, you know, what kind of, I think, drove how much we wanted to see her back these two seasons now that she's returned since her original. And now it's, like, even more reason to keep her in the game. Like, she is trying to get in there and get this win. Like, I love it. But yeah, so that group there also, Gabby, Liv, Big T, seems like something to keep an eye on. We keep cutting back and forth to them. So we'll see where that goes going forward. But was that anything else before?
No, that was it. We can get into the deliberation now.
All right. Joseph at the deliberation is going to call out Mr. Wes, as he was hoping to give Wes the opportunity to, you know, go home and tend to his money. And Wes doesn't obviously take this very well, but does kind of end this conversation with the upper hand of everybody kind of on his side.
Mm-hmm. I think Wes probably knew he had the upper hand going into this. I mean, at the point where you're dropping, I am indeed rich, I feel like you're pretty comfortable in terms of both money and in your relationships in the game. So Wes, I feel like, really couldn't have done a lot of wrong here, and it was just ensuring that his votes were locked up moving forward. I don't think Natalie necessarily needed to get as involved as she did, but I mean, it's Natalie. She's gonna do it. So I, in an ideal world, probably would not have gotten, you know, so out there in this deliberation that didn't concern her all that much. But it's what you're going to expect. And I guess at least she looks loyal.
But yeah, I mean, you know what? I appreciate so much seeing this from Natalie, because it's been so long since we've seen this side of Natalie on TV, honestly. Like, we thinking back to Winners at War. So she made it to the end, of course. But, you know, that was like, at the end, it was, how can I get to the end and win? And we've seen strategic Natalie for so long, and it's great because we want to see her do well and succeed and win, and it's great to see how capable she is at these games. But the last example that I can genuinely think of confrontational Natalie is like the John Rocker thing back at the beginning of her first season. I'm sure that something else has happened in the time since then that I'm not thinking of, but, you know, even at the Edge of Extinction, it sounded like there was some, you know, drama going on with her there, but we didn't see any of it.
We definitely heard about it, but I think, you know, you want to create that compelling finalist edit. So Natalie definitely got a more glowing edit in terms of social game in parts. I still will defend it all the time. But, you know, Natalie, some of the rough edges were smoothed in the edit. So it's not super surprising for it to be coming out so soon on the challenge. And I think that's why, like, yeah, she's super competitive, but like, it's all of the reasons that make her a good casting on this show.
I know. I as soon as Natalie started, talking into this conversation with, you know, kind of course, defending Wes a little bit and getting into it with Joseph, I was like, Joseph, you picked the wrong day. Like, you were lucky. Like Natalie is not somebody I want to fight with, but you're lucky like that. Like, Ashley isn't here anymore. Like, you could get some serious, you know, pushback on what you're saying from other veterans, and you're getting it here from a rookie. Obviously, this is, you know, somebody who's not a rookie to reality television, but that's the thing here. So like, she sees the big picture, she sees what's going on, and it's not like there's anything crazy happening here, but she's not going to sit there and let Joseph, you know, call out her partner. She's like, you are volunteering to go in here. Like, why do you think you get all these options? You get to choose when you go in, how you go in, what the temperature is outside when you go in, like how many water bottles are provided for you with the challenge. Like, everything needs to be perfect to your liking, Joseph. She's like, that's not how this works. So
yeah, I do think, like, good on her for, you know, throwing in the, like, unless you're Fessy and Anissa and you're, like, so great and perfect, like, basically, like, throwing in there, like, a little bit of sucking up doesn't hurt, but, and it was definitely, like, a little bit of, like, wonky editing where Natalie's like, here is exactly why you shouldn't be doing what you're doing, and Joseph's like, but what's your reason? It's like, she just gave it. Like, you're outmatched in terms of this argument right now.
Yeah. Again, I stand, I don't know that I have much mind changing that I think will happen here on how I feel about what Joseph did. You know, I don't think, I definitely think it was a good move for the long-term game. And I hope that that's what he was thinking of, you know, of creating like a character or something for himself, or just creating this moment where regardless of how this went, that, you know, his number would still be, you know, in their phone book for future seasons, because that's the real win.
The thing is, I also saw a little bit of where a clip from, I guess, Joseph jumped on an Instagram Live with Fessy and said, like, I had never seen the show. I didn't really know anything about it. I trained physically before I got on, but I did not know the, like, social political game that's going on at all, or the strategy. So definitely wished that, you know, next time he will be better prepared, like, if they allow him, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's encouraging that he's going to do his homework, but... unfortunately did not do it before arriving here.
Yeah. Any thoughts on the voting, the secret votes here? I think my only takeaway is the Corey and Nelson votes, because they did both vote for Wes. And I saw a comment from Wes on social media today about, like, not understanding why those two guys are, like, actively trying to, you know, go after him. Mm-hmm. He's like, I've been on four seasons with them. I've never done anything wrong to them. I've never, like, wronged them in the game or anything. And they obviously, you know, were determined on getting me out, so I don't know what that's about, but anything from you?
There's a couple things here. So I think it's super interesting that Leroy and Cam voted different ways, that Gabby did not vote, like, with Big T's wishes, even though she's in that group. So I was almost surprised it wasn't even more lopsided towards getting Joseph in, considering the alliance breakdown. I like that Amber, you know, Amber M is not necessarily just voting however Nelson wants her to. So hopefully we get, you know, a couple words from her on screen eventually, but that's encouraging. And I like also that Amber B and Kyle are saying, like, Big T asked to be thrown in. So again, she's plotting, she's scheming, she knows what she's doing. I'm excited and, you know, at least interested by what we can glean based off of this.
Mm-hmm. Obviously the big highlight that's going to come after this soon is, or like now is, Kyle decides that he is voting for Joseph to go in, you know, and Big T. He goes back to the room and they're all joking around, Tori and Kyle and Fessy and Anissa. We all voted for Wes. Like, that's, you know, it's crazy. And Kyle's like, yeah, I told him I wasn't gonna, but I voted for him. And Kyle in his confessional talking about how, you know, this secret vote was designed for him because he is a great liar. He can tell, you know, he told everybody that he didn't vote for them, so nobody has any idea. Little does he know that this is the deal here. Okay, so here's the next question. How perfect would it be if Kyle and Cam win the next challenge and get to go in there?
Very ideal, because it's like on both spots, like, Kyle will immediately know how he fucked up. He'll like get that information, and he and Cam are like two of the more strategic, if not the most strategic, people in the house. So they will like have many more ideas of how to actually work this moving forward, rather than, you know, two random names that you could probably throw darts and most of these people are not going to be thinking. But also then, like, Cam will see that, like, oh, Anissa and Fessy did not tell me this. So there's a lot of consequences to that exact team actually winning the next challenge.
I just can't blame Kyle much for this. I mean, it's a secret vote. He lied about his vote because it's supposed to be a secret vote. Obviously, knowing what, you know, like, I'm sure he's going to figure out when he gets back that they knew that he lied. Like, he'll figure it out somehow. And whether that's by him going into this room at some point, or, you know, whatever, information leaks and he finds out, like, okay, he got caught and he got punished essentially for it by having to go into this elimination. But in any other scenario, if this actually was a secret vote, like, I don't see the harm in it. So, you know,
I don't think it was solely this vote. Like we said, in the preseason, True. You had Corey and Nelson like joking about how they can't trust Kyle. And Kyle last season was a very big part, at least on screen, talking about why Anissa should get eliminated and calling her dead weight and things like that. So I feel like there's probably not the best feelings there at the moment, or at least it made it a lot easier. So I'm not super surprised by this. I don't remember who it was on last week's challenge after show was saying, like, I went to every single person in the house and told them I did not vote for them. So I'm sure lots of people are doing this. It's just a nice reason to say why Kyle got thrown in.
Yeah. Then obviously we follow Fessy and Anissa, who go into the chamber. And Anissa, I guess, Anissa lets us in on something that I had been wondering. Like, what does everybody else think that you're doing in there? And she says that she's been telling all of them that it's just a place where they go to deliberate, which is not unheard of. I mean, you know, just like they go into this room to film them talking about their decision. You know, it's not that the most unbelievable. But what did you make of Fessy feeling like insulted after seeing who got thrown in, not being Wes?
Of course. I mean, this is the first time where Fessy has not been able to just be outright confused at how the vote ended up how it did, because he's actually seeing it right there in front of him. So the secret ballot, as soon as it turns around and Fessy is blindsided, going to be much more satisfying to see Fessy worrying about who flipped all over again. But when he's seeing the votes right now, like, he is able to see like lots of people who did tell him to his face that they were going to vote with him and did not end up being the case. So I'm very interested, you know, Fessy saying he's playing an honest and upfront and not scared game, but I'm curious to see how that goes moving forward.
Yeah, and I mean, I do, you know, to bounce back to giving him credit, I like the way that he switches up things after this by saying, you know, Wes is somebody who needs any bone that you are willing to throw him right now. And if I can use this opportunity, I'm not throwing, you know, Wes is not the name that's voted in by the House. Let me not put him in, because then he'll feel in debt to us for, you know, a small period of time. And they can use this opportunity to, you know, kind of go after somebody, ends up being specifically Kyle here, who was lying to them and wasn't being honest with them. So on that side of things, Fessy and Anissa making this move, specifically with the pick that they make, it being Kyle, yeah, I don't think I'd take too much of an issue with that. As far as Fessy having the option to go in himself, let's get into it, because we're pretty much at this time here for the crater. You know, it's going to be Big T and Joseph that head on down there. We know that Kyle is going to be the one that ends up being thrown in, but I mean, we always get TJ kind of like in this tone of voice, like, are you sure you don't want to come into this elimination? But like, Fessy has literally, and this is what we're talking about with the editing being so perfect, because last week we got to see Fessy specifically saying, if it was something physical, I would go in. And now this week, it's physical, and he just stands up there.
It was this week that he said it. Like,
he said it last week, too.
Yeah, but it was, I don't know. For him to say, basically, like, if there's a pole in the sand, it's like, no, it's a ring. I'm not going in. Like, it was pretty obvious, I felt like, from the look of it. Maybe, like, a ball could have dropped from the sky.
Obvious.
But, like, I feel like you see, you know, the thing hanging above it. They're not going to make some giant setup after you already see what's going on, you know, at least 9 out of 10 times. So I am, you know, kind of blaming him here for not going in. Normally I would, you know, was a little more hesitant last season. But who is challenging Fessy for his gold skull? Who is, you know, helping him moving forward? So he may as well go ahead and get it out of the way on someone like Joseph. It reads a lot like, you know, Jen versus Jenny last season.
Exactly what I was thinking of, yes.
You go in early against, like, the one person who kind of was like, why are they here in the first place? And then, like, no one's willing to actually challenge you again moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, if he was that worried about it, like, you know, obviously he's in a good spot in this game, right? He's feeling good. He's feeling like he has allies. He's feeling, you know, he just won 2 challenges in a row. He's like afraid to, I guess, mess that up on the off chance that something goes wrong down there and he gets, you know, taken out of the game here at the first guy's elimination. I get that fear's in the back of your mind, but you're still kind of proving yourself here in this challenge world. Show how dominant you are in this game so far. And it's Joseph, right? Like, you're not going down there against Corey or CT or something like that. I mean, I definitely think this could have been a great opportunity for him to just go get the gold skull off of his mind, have that in his pocket, and be able to continue playing the game, you know, with the same setup that he's currently in, with even less pressure on him because he already has a skull. But whatever.
That's ultimately, I think you still go for it. The only reasoning I can think of is I don't think Fessy is going to necessarily make the move to switch partners now. But I don't know that Fessy wants to go to the final with Anissa. And if he is thinking, I need to get away from Anissa later and I'm going to end up in an elimination at that point anyway, then I guess why do it now? But I still think it's probably the move to, like, let's lock it in. If I have to run the final with Anissa, like, because I can't get into an elimination later, like, fine. But I would rather at least have that skull and not have to worry about, like, not having it at all and running with the wrong partner.
Yeah. Well, as we mentioned, he does not end up opting to go in. He votes for Kyle. He does not want to play a scared game. He's like, Wes, you owe me one. My vote is for Kyle and Nani. Corey's pissed. Fessy's only thinking about himself. And then Anissa's going to go ahead and back Fessy up there. Any surprise to see Kyle, like, super pissed off there? I mean, he, like you said, he had no heads up.
No, and especially with everyone's been saying that, like, the night before, Kyle was, like, in 12-plus drinks deep. He's super hungover at this point, so that is not a good feeling to have to go in against even Joseph on this. So I don't blame him at all for being frustrated here.
Yeah, and Anissa was pretty, you know, she was standing up for her decision to us in confessional. Like, I don't feel bad about this at all. Like, I'm, you know, I'm playing a tougher game this time. We are the double agents, you know, back-to-back weeks here. We don't have to tell anybody the truth about anything. But, you know, Kyle decided that that's how he was going to play the game. Anissa doesn't have any ties to Kyle. Fessy doesn't have any ties to Kyle. So why not? So that's what they decided to do. And of course, you guys know how the elimination played out. Joseph goes in there, gets two rounds back to back of Kyle taking the ring and getting it on his side of things. And Joseph or Jacob or whatever else Big T thought might have been his name is going to head on home. So there you go.
Yeah, I think Kyle should actually be thrilled that he went in here because I don't know how he stacks up against. I think he is underrated, but don't know how he stacks up against many of the other guys on the cast in this challenge specifically. So got it out of his way. I don't think Kyle is someone that you are going to, like, actively target so quickly. So he could escape. Probably going to have to go into another elimination, but maybe not so many more. So not too bad to switch up on his partner game this early, actually work on creating inroads, and maybe might not have such a hard road ahead of him as opposed to where he was.
Yeah, for sure. From this elimination, I liked Joseph being in confessional, being like, I do not know what I just got myself into. People are screaming, draw blood. People are screaming, like, kill him. Like, yeah, that happens. Yeah, if you watch, like, even like an episode or two, you probably would have seen that that's how eliminations go. Like, it's nothing personal. It's just people scream and try to get excitement. That's you're on TV here. But yeah, and then we also had that moment that you referenced at the top of the show about the mustard that Joseph keeps in his pocket. I don't even know what to say about this. I don't eat mustard in general, let alone at this random opportunity right before I need to go into some kind of athletic bout.
I feel like I've heard this. Mustard is a top tier condiment, for the record, but also it's so bizarre. Like, it's just like Joseph doing his little ab workout in the middle of the living room. Like, this is probably giving some benefit, but, like, is it too embarrassing to outweigh the benefit? So I don't know. It is definitely an interesting choice. And, you know, it adds to make Joseph more memorable. So there we go.
Yeah. I mean, if he was willing to, you know, carry this mustard in his pocket, pull it out here at this elimination in front of all these competitors, obviously it wasn't anything that was bothering him enough. So if it gave him a little bit of an extra boost in whatever way it did, go ahead, take your mustard. Get it, whatever. I mean, at the very least, this whole thing provided us a little bit more clarity as to where Joseph's athletic background came from. He talked about how he raced motocross when he was younger. Mm-hmm. So, you know, has some of, you know, some of that besides just being on America's Got Talent as, you know, what he's done in his life. So I don't know. Good to get some final thoughts and things to remember. I mean, we're going to remember Joseph for calling out Wes, for sleeping on the couch, for being, you know, Big T's partner, and she was frustrated with him beyond belief. And the mustard here is like the final the added mustard touch. Joseph does, I think, have a good shot at coming back.
I'm not as convinced. I think there are better rookie choices here. And, you know, maybe if none of them can come back, but there's a lot of people on the, pretty much every other male rookie I'm taking over him. So I don't know what spot he's necessarily filling next season, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, all it takes is because they're going to bring, you know, of course, some rookies back from here. All it takes is Leah Rush being busy with the WWE, Michi says no, or they don't ask him, or something goes, you know, whatever. Who else is a rookie out here? I don't know. Is there any?
Got Nam.
I don't know. Turbo had two seasons and, you know, disappeared. So maybe, you know, it doesn't take much for them to need
it. I'm not losing Nam early, too.
I know.
No, I'm not willing.
I don't know. I wouldn't have expected Big T to get that second call back. We were surprised very pleasantly when she did. So I don't know. When Joseph gets called back and he is on the cast for season 37, I will feel some vindication. I don't know that I even necessarily am like dying for it. I just, at this point, I feel like I've put much investment in the idea.
Give me Michi over Joseph every time. Like, I'm much more happy with Michi coming back. So even at this point, and I don't feel like we've gotten a ton from Michi, but he's been more enjoyable for me.
I'm a big fan of Michi. He's been a lot of fun so far. So that hopefully there's more to come there outside of him, you know, getting evacuated from challenge. But what else? Anything else here from this elimination besides, you know, the and I guess not besides Kyle calls out Fessy later on.
Yeah, I like Big T not hiding it and her and Nani just both jumping up and down in celebration. Even though neither of them want to partner with Kyle, they are thrilled that Joseph is going home for the both of them.
I know. Joseph, what an impression he decided to make. But it's time to make the decision here. Kyle is going to decide if he wants to keep his partner or not. And he is not. Nani's been talking all episode about how Kyle might not be the best partner for her. And apparently Kyle agrees. He thinks that the better move for him is to infiltrate. And he's going to take Cam away from Josh. Josh is pissed. He's like, I was rooting for you the whole time. Oh, you meatball. And yeah.
Oh, I was so happy. Like, the look of shock on their faces was so funny. I just wanted anyone to change partners. Like I said, break the seal. Let's get this moving. Let's make this a regular thing. It's not going to be the end of the world. You can make this move. So I was so excited. Like, I really like Kyle. I love Cam. So excited for them as a pair. Don't love Josh. So excited for him to, you know, not be thrilled about this. Nani and Josh get along. So, like, fine, that's a good pair. And all of this was working out swimmingly for me.
Yeah, these pairs are going to be pretty interesting moving forward. And, you know, I think I already said this, but definitely think that both pairs are more beneficial for Kyle and Nani than what they had currently had. Not even a question about it. So that's, you know, good moves for them. It's exciting television for us that we get to see all this happen. CT and Big T unite. So we got Big CT now as a very, very rootable team going forward. So, I mean, yeah, I get why you're coming into this podcast feeling like we got two great episodes, especially when you talk it all out, go through it. I definitely enjoyed the first episode better than this one. Not that I didn't enjoy this one, but last week I was like, hype. This one, yeah. I was like, yeah, that was good.
There was the middle part of the episode where I was kind of getting worried about this big alliance. And as soon as Devin and Kyle started like waking up to the fact that they were not necessarily in on this inner core, that's when I started getting more excited about this episode again. And so watching it on the rewatch, it's like, I have the context. I'm very much enjoying this because I know what's going to happen. And so I'm watching it fall apart. I'm watching new things build. And that is kind of the attitude I'm going to be moving forward with this season. Hoping that now at least like it's realized, because like I said, you had the core teams standing around debating like, oh my God, who do we throw out? So if it's not obvious then like there's no hope for any of these people moving forward. And the majority of people were standing there watching them. So I feel pretty decent at least about how it's going to go.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see how it all goes over the next couple of weeks. If there's more partner swaps, things looked like there was some confrontation in the next episode with Josh and CT, which is nothing new for either of those two people. That's happened before. We saw an ambulance showing up, so people still getting hurt. Another crazy challenge on the way. So, yeah, this season is going to keep on rolling here.
Of the six people that gained new partners, do you think every single one was an improvement for them, or how do you rate them?
Six people gained new partners: Big T, CT, and then the other two that were down there. Major upgrade for Big T. Big T is at number one, as you know, most improved from this whole situation.
Definitely true.
Kyle's at number two.
I agree.
You got Cam by your side. You have probably CT at number three here, because as he said, he wanted an exact partner like Big T, just somebody with a great social game that, you know, they're not going to be looked at, you know, as any kind of massive threats. You know, they're in good with a lot of people that I think that could be good there. Who's left? Cam, Josh, and Nani. I'll go backwards now. I think Josh goes at the bottom of the list. Not that Nani is, you know, like a bad partner or anything. I mean, she's not the best. She's not the worst. But I don't think he gained anything by losing Cam. That's just the issue.
Exactly.
Here. And then with Cam and Nani being there, probably go next. So from the bottom, Josh at the bottom. I'll go Cam after that because Kyle doesn't really add much to her game. She just is now going to, if anything, have like an additional problem by her side of having to deal with Kyle. And then Nani above that, because now Nani is linked up with that Big Brother alliance for certain.
Yeah, definitely fair. I think it's interesting to look specifically at like Cam waiting Kyle versus Josh, because I do think Josh is, you know, we even saw Kyle beat Josh in a elimination last season, so I think Kyle's the clear upgrade as a competitor, but which was more helpful to her moving forward in terms of the alliance or Kyle, so not really sure there. Also agree with CT, you know, gaining Big T versus losing Ashley. You know, as much as I think Ashley, Big T is underrated, and Ashley being underrated, I think that the target is just so much smaller on CT and Big T rather than CT and Ashley, that probably an upgrade, even, you know, against conventional thinking. So I think that pretty much everyone did better off here.
Look, the last time CT won this game, he was partnered with the Brits. And having Big T by his side, I think, could only do positive things for him. Big T, you know, with that alliance by her side of like Gabby and Liv and anybody else, it does seem like they're all kind of friendly with Kyle. I do feel like there's just kind of like a natural alliance that comes in with the UK people, which makes tons of sense, obviously. And it does seem like Kyle and Big T had some kind of connection that is, I don't know if it's like new this season or maybe just haven't paid attention to it in the past, but so if he's got, you know, that going on, you know, some bonus numbers with all of those people and their partners, and then if he is making any progress with the Corey and Nelson and Fessy group, then, you know, a lot better for him on that end. So, yeah, what did I say? Big T, then Kyle, then CT, then Nani, Cam, Josh would have been my order.
Yeah, that's fair. I think the Nani and Cam is the one that I, you know, was struggling with ranking there, but I am not going to argue with your ranking at all.
All right, let's rank everybody else left in the game as well. We have time. I need more Teresa. I really do. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm watching her old seasons. I'm like, oh my God, Teresa's back. And then I'm like, where is Teresa?
I was interested because she and Jay did really stick around for a while in the daily competition and didn't get out until after people were really struggling to decide who to vote for. But at the same time, Jay and Teresa end up voting in with neither side of the house, and they just vote for Gabby and Leo, allegedly. So I don't really know, are they throwing their votes? Are they completely outside of both alliances? And I really have my eye on both of them moving forward because I think that they were two people in really one of the most interesting spots coming onto this season.
I also have my eye on Devin and Nicole going forward, not as some kind of like, you know, strong team that I think is going to dominate this game, but we're seeing, you know, a decent amount of Devin. They're obviously not seeing a ton of Nicole, but she's been involved with what was she? She's, I don't know, she's kind of like been in the scene, like strategizing with Nani and Cam there. And I'm also thinking of her right now because there was like pictures of her hanging out with Lolo from this past week. And I was like, what the hell is happening here? So I don't know. I guess that's a friendship that formed out there. So I don't know. They are just popping off the page as I look at this draft chart as well. But otherwise, that's really all that I have for this week.
Yeah, I'm looking through. I think that's about it. The one thing that I was going to flag up is I'm wondering moving forward. I think next week, probably most people expect it to be a women's elimination, but my theory is I think we're getting another guy's elimination next week. I think most people would expect it to go like female elimination, male elimination, female elimination, male elimination. But what I had, you know, flagged up earlier when like CT was completely immune because he sat out of a challenge, I don't think that they're going to necessarily want just like, oh, this guy is immune like every other week because like a woman was eliminated last week. So I think we might go almost like a snake draft order with like female elimination, male elimination, then another male elimination. So then like a woman is safe the following week.
Right.
And so I think we might end up actually seeing a male elimination next week, and I wonder if the players are thinking that. So we might get another situation where people are, you know, let's say actively targeting, let's say Natalie, and then, oh, no, Wes is going into an elimination that you didn't expect him to be going into.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And that's also why, not for that exact reason, because I hadn't, like, exactly, like, drawn it out like that much, but, you know, I was talking about how it could be at some point maybe an elimination where two people, you know, the entire team goes in against the entire other team. So that's why I don't feel like it's a lock that it's always going to be the same. But yeah, for sure. Wouldn't be surprised if they did something like that. They should, because, you know, it's not going to be the most interesting to just be like, oh, which guy is sitting out this week? So definitely could see that. I don't know, like, who? Okay, so Kyle, and now we're all even out this week. So because, you know, the partners are all paired up again. So that doesn't do much for us. But I don't know. Fun idea, fun concept. We'll see how it actually plays out.
Yeah, and I think the way that that all ends up, like, really screwing people up is if they're like, oh, like, let's let like Nelson get a much better partner and, like, get rid of Amber M next week or something. And then, I mean, let's, facts are facts. And so, you know, I'm looking at, like, who is someone that the Big Alliance, like, you know, has but wouldn't mind losing, and, like, they want to help out. And so they throw in, let's say, like, an Amber M and Nelson, and, like, surprise, Nelson's actually going in this week. So definitely think that they are really going to be kept on their toes. I think the format is super interesting. And I'm excited to see, like you said, it could be a paired elimination. It could be male, female, any week. And, like, we're not really going to know.
Yeah. We could end up with a three-way elimination at some point again. Oh, I don't know. They did that once.
That is possible. Know. So we'll
see. Maybe Mark Jansen is going to come in and he's going to have to take down two people, three people. I don't know. Who knows? They like to shock us and surprise us. And, you know, honestly, I would not be surprised in the slightest. Actually, no, I would, because I feel like we would have heard about it if Mark and Jenny ended up there at one point.
There's,
like,
a 0% chance they held back Mark Jansen to come in the middle of the season.
I mean, look, Nelson and Amanda showed up in the middle of Rivals 3 out of nowhere as, like, alternates. So, like, if they had them there.
That wasn't as, like, here's the big heavy hitter. And, like, I get that Mark is a giant, but he is not, like, doesn't come with any reputation into this cast, and he's, like, super goofy. Like,
Jenny, our champion from last season. She is back here to take one of you out. And here's Mark Jansen. He got in a fight with Josh on BB19. Ketchup was involved, and you should be afraid of him.
He's, like, the least intimidating giant that I can think of. Like, it's so funny, the concept of Mark Jansen coming in, like, goofy smiling, and, like, in order to take someone out, and probably, you know, would do very well, but just is not intimidating for his size. Look,
if Mary is a new Challenge fan or an old Challenge fan and wants to write some fan fiction about this, I am all for it. I will read it. I will recite it on the podcast, but we know that's not going to happen. All right. That's all that I have for this week. Anything else from you before we get out of here?
No, I'm all good. Unfortunately, did not get to look up Colin's request of who has the most daily wins and stuff like that. So that'll have to come later. Otherwise, you know, another good week, and I'm excited for week three, whatever may come, because I feel like I know just about as much as they do on the show.
Yeah. Colin wanted to know if anybody has won back-to-back the first two dailies of the season before in a season, and I'm sure it's happened. I just don't know, and I wasn't feeling the move of going to look it up, because I feel like it doesn't seem the easiest information to access without going season by season. But if anybody knows that, tweet at Colin Stone and let him know. But other than that, you can follow me on Twitter at Matt Liguori. You can follow Scally on Twitter at Brian_Scally. Other podcasts are, I mean, nothing new. Yeah, same place you can find me doing my other podcast with Amon, and might get him on sooner than later. On this last episode that he and I did, he still hadn't watched. He says he has watched both episodes. Not sure how much I believe him, but maybe. I said on the podcast, I was like, you have to watch because we're having you on the podcast, without even asking. And he was like, oh, okay. So if he actually did watch, and he is going to watch again next week, I think we'll be talking to him soon. So all we'll see about that.
Sounds good. I'm excited. It's a good way to get someone hooked is with starting with this season. So that's exciting. And for Colin, Coral and Evan won the first three on Fresh Meat. So at least it's happened before.
Look at you go with quick lookups here. Other draft update. We talked about ours as well, but of course we have that draft, the must lose draft with Allie and Brian over on the Rehap Ups. We have, I think the official score updates as of now, we actually were just talking to them earlier. I believe Allie has 3 points. I have 2 points. Scally has 3 points and Brian Cohen has 1 point. So I always get confused with it. We want to have points, right, in this draft?
Yeah, you do want to have points. Yeah, you're being rewarded for your team actively being bad.
Right. So there's a lot of points that can be given out like negatively for good things that they do, but we still want to have the most points. So we'll see how the draft goes. If you guys have any interest, by the way, leave reviews over on the Dom and Colin podcast, on like the iTunes, the Apple podcast store, anything like that. We have gotten reviews before, but we don't ever plug it necessarily in this way. But if you're enjoying this coverage, feel free, leave a 5-star review, you know, write a little comment about how great Scally and I are and help us get a raise. And
please. I've said it, like, you know, Lolo and Nom had their little love language going on. 5-star reviews are my love language, so always helps.
Yes, absolutely. But that's really all that we have for this week. So we will see you guys next week with episode 3. We will have the same partners. We are not switching up partners at any point along the way here. So until next time, we will see you guys later.